Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week we're covering off a whole heap of different topics with a whole lot of different portfolios that the minister holds. Prisoner voting, is it time to reinstate the ability for prisoners to vote? Plus, what about sexual violation courts? Should they be rolled out, should I say, nationwide? And how did the Christchurch gunman, alleged Christchurch gunman, get to send letters to users of controversial website 4chan overseas? Have a listen.
So, firstly, I know that it's not your portfolio, but we now know that the man accused of the Christchurch mosque attack was able to send 7 letters from prison. I was just wondering, from the perspective of a justice minister, do you think we should change our corrections laws?
Any prisoner is entitled to have correspondence and contact with the outside world. Much of that correspondence is vetted. The question is whether the corrections department, in dealing with the correspondence from this prisoner, had properly vetted it. It's pretty clear that they hadn't. And the rules about correspondence and the vetting of it are now under review.
That's all I think I need to know about that, considering, as I said, it's not exactly your portfolio. Moving on to sexual violence courts, is this something that we're going to see rolled out nationwide?
Yeah, well, we now have the report following the 2 or 2.5 years of the pilots in Whangarei and Auckland. The report reaches some pretty positive conclusions, mainly that because there was a specialist court, it was able to bring on the trials of those offences much more quickly than in places where there is no specialist court. And also the way the trials were conducted were much less traumatising for the victims, which are two very important objectives that we would want to achieve. I've now got to have a look at the report and officials will have a look at it. To roll those courts out further would require additional resources. Given the commitment this government's made already on sexual and family violence, and we know there is more to be done, I'm certainly very keen to try to secure some additional resources to get more of these courts in cities around New Zealand. So, look, that'll take some months and possibly more than one budget period to do so, but I'm very keen to push to have more of these courts elsewhere in New Zealand.
Do you know if there are existing resources remaining within this budget that it is feasible that it could happen before the next?
Look, it's unlikely. These pilots were really funded out of existing resources anyway. It was because of the really the judges involved, including the Chief District Court judge, who were keen to see these sorts of new approaches tried out, that we got these pilots in place. But the reality is these sorts of courts are more intensive of judge time. It requires more effort by judges, but also accelerating waiting times or reducing waiting times does require more effort. So it will require more resources. In this year's budget, we got an additional 10 district court judges. That might help, although we still have a massive backlog in many courts around the country. So, look, I'll have a look at the report, work with officials, and look over the next few months, we'll seek to secure what we can so we see more of these courts.
Have you had any conversations yet about the next budget's funding, or is it too early for that?
A bit too early for that. I mean, the process starts over the next few months, towards the end of the year, and it's about a sort of 5 to 6 month period to put it all together. So, look, those conversations and that work will start fairly soon.
But you'll be standing by this after the next budget, that this is something you'd like to secure funding for?
Yeah, look, we know that there's, around the country, there's been a growth in sexual violence offences and trials. It is unfortunately one of the growing areas of criminal offending. Partly, I think, is because there is more reporting of it, a greater willingness to report, but that means there's more to do. And the pilots in Whangarei and Auckland have shown that we can approach this type of offending and the trials associated with it in a much more effective way that doesn't cause more problems, and is better for all concerned, for victims obviously, but actually also for defendants and ultimately for the community. So I would want us to go beyond just the 2 piloted areas and see more of these courts in other areas. I think that's the right thing to do for victims wherever they are in New Zealand, but it will take us time to get there.
Huawei have threatened to exit the country. Do you think they'll stand by that?
Look, it's hard to know. They've got big business interests in New Zealand. They're not just technology providers, but they are that. They're also, you know, providing technology at the consumer end as well. So, look, you know, this all revolves around the letter they sent me last month, a very lengthy letter, because they're trying to influence the decision on what happens with Spark and as Spark wants to roll out 5G. And my repeated message to them is that I'm not the person they should be talking with. We have a statutory framework that these decisions are made under, and we deal with the telecommunications company, not the telecommunications company's technology provider. So they should be dealing with their client, not with the government. Their engagement with the government is not helping them.
I mean, they're a massive company, and that letter that they sent, it leaked, which sort of implies that they maybe want this to play out in the public, which it kind of is. How do you deal with such a big, influential company like this when it's all sort of spilling out into the public arena?
Well, I mean, the main thing is not to get fazed by it. I mean, it does look like a really calculated sort of campaign, not to put too fine a point on it. But look, they do what they do. All I can do is to tell them or remind them, A, what the statutory requirements are, both for the GCSB that makes the assessments and myself as minister, who may eventually be called upon to make a decision, and then B, that you know, their best interests are served by dealing with their client, not with trying to lobby the government, because that simply is not going to make a difference.
If Labor wins the next election, will prisoners have the right to vote?
look, as a result of the Waitangi Tribunal's report this week and also the Supreme Court decision earlier this year, myself and my colleagues Nanai Mahuta and Kelvin Davis will put together a report to Cabinet. That'll be in the next few weeks, and we'll just canvass where Cabinet is at on it. I think look, some important points have been made. I think the most insidious thing about it is the law, the 2010 law is not just a prohibition on voting. It's a prohibition on enrolling. And so if somebody gets sentenced to prison, they come off the roll. And we know that once somebody comes off the roll, it's a hell of a job to get them back onto it. Even on release, ex-prisoners are usually tied up trying to sort out a whole heap of things, you know, accommodation, reintegrating with their family and community, getting a job, all those sorts of things. Usually the last thing on their mind is, oh, I better get back on the electoral roll. So I think the 2010 law was a very insidious law, and I think out of respect for these two judicial institutions, the Waitangi Tribunal and the Supreme Court, Cabinet ought now to consider the issue and decide what action, if any, that it wants to take on it.
And you've been on the record for a few years saying that you do at least favour returning to a system where those with shorter prison sentences should be able to vote. Why has it taken this long? I mean, why are we only having this conversation 2 years into your term?
The priority we've given in terms of criminal justice is actually addressing the big, you know, the elephant in the room, which is this mass over-representation of Māori in our prison system, as well as this rapid growth in prison numbers, with a reoffending rate that is unchanged. So we've been dealing with, I think, some of the more fundamental issues, which is why are we having such numbers getting to prison in the first place, and why do we still continue to have this obvious inherent bias against Māori? We need to address those issues. The right to vote is important, but in an order of priority, we've given priority to some of the more fundamental issues.
But wouldn't it be a pretty simple return to the status quo kind of thing? I mean, you should, theoretically, unless their positions have changed, you'd still have the backing of both your coalition, or, you know, New Zealand First and the Greens would both support returning to the previous system. Wouldn't it have been quite simple to just repeal the law?
Not quite sure about those numbers. In fairness to New Zealand First, I mean, they weren't in Parliament when the law was passed, so they don't have any voting record on it. They haven't expressed a view on it. And it's not for me to be presumptuous about, you know, about what position they might take on it, except that they have been supportive of me and Labor in terms of the priorities that we have given the area of criminal justice, and not just the work I'm doing, but the work that Kelvin Davis is doing in corrections, which is about more kind of therapeutic responses to people who are in prison. We had the big decision about what we did with Waikerea, and now having a rebuild that actually provides some specialist services there. So, look, we we have started a quite extensive work program on change and criminal justice. The issue of prisoner voting, and to the extent that that goes to citizenship and citizenship rights, we haven't addressed. We have good reason to, with the declaration of inconsistency by the Supreme Court and now these findings by the tribunal. So for that reason, my colleagues and I are determined to get a paper in front of Cabinet and gauge where Cabinet wants to, what sort of priority Cabinet wants to give this and what we want to do about it.
But as part of the reason it's taken so long, you're not completely sure that you do have the numbers for it to pass?
Look, that could be one factor. I think it is just to me it has been order of priority. What are the big issues we need to be dealing with? This is a government that has, it made a decision right early on. It was going to deal with issues that previous governments had let go, just didn't want to deal with. And it is about, dealing with the long-term issues, that if we address properly, we create a foundation for a different future. So that's the approach we've taken. The prisoner voting issue has been there, but we've known that the court case that's gone to the Supreme Court was there. We made the decision to wait for that. Then we were aware of the claim to the Waitangi Tribunal. That claim has been around for a while, actually, but it was sort of let go, and it was reignited at the end of last year. We made the decision that we would wait until we had the benefit of the tribunal's findings. We now have that. They've done a very good report, I might add. And I think now to honour both of those, the decisions of both of those institutions, now it is timely for us to consider it.
Awesome, Minister. Thank you so much for your time.
Cheers, Stuart.
Talk again next week.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.